1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 through 4, let us now hear the word of God. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray again this evening that you would deal with us according to your mercy, that you would not give us as we deserve, but you would give us as your mercy determines. And we pray that you would teach us tonight. Please teach us your heavenly truth. Help us to hear your voice in the scriptures and be obedient to it. I ask, Father, that you would help us to renew our minds here tonight about the things that we find here in 1 Peter chapter 5. I pray that you would help all of your people, no matter their position in the church, no matter what part they are in the body of Christ, that you would help them to see how this text is for them and what you have for them here. We will thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're thinking here, as we open 1 Peter chapter 5, about leadership, about church leadership, as Peter exhorts the elders of the church in his instructions that begin chapter 5. Last week, we started by thinking about the different roles of church leaders. I do believe there is one office of church leadership. I understand that there are various opinions on that and differences in the Christian world as it relates to what is a pastor, what is an elder, what is a bishop, all that sort of thing. But I believe that Scripture clearly teaches that there is one office of leadership and that that one office has different roles, we might say, or different functions within it. So Peter here addresses the elders, and what does he tell them to do? He tells them to pastor. Verse 1, the elders who are among you I exhort. So this is who Peter is talking to. He's talking to the elders. And if you remember last time, we said he's not just talking to older men here. Some of the older men may certainly have been elders in the churches, leaders in the churches. But elders is not simply the idea of someone who is advanced in age or someone who is senior in terms of age, although in many cases that would be. But in this case, we're talking about the office of leadership in the church, and that is who Peter is addressing. What does he tell them to do? Verse 2, shepherd or pastor the flock of God. That's where we got the idea, among other places in the New Testament, that elders are called to pastor. They're called to shepherd the people of God. And then we also saw there in verse 2 that they are to serve as overseers. That phrase, serving as overseers, episkopos or episkopeo, this is the verbal form of it, refers to someone who has oversight, someone who takes oversight and is responsible for the watch care over a particular group of people, in this case, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That language is elsewhere translated in your New Testament as bishop. What is a bishop? He's an overseer. This is what Paul refers to in 1 Timothy 3, when he says a bishop must be blameless or above reproach, and he lists the qualifications for that. Is Paul talking about three separate offices or positions of leadership? No, I believe there is one office, and there are these different aspects to the leadership that that one office or the people in that one office exercise. They are elders by maturity and qualification spiritually. They are pastors in terms of what they do. They shepherd the people of God, and they are also bishops because they oversee or watch over the people of God. So that's where we started. We started thinking about roles of church leadership. Now we want to move on tonight to something that obviously is very related, and that's the responsibilities of leadership. What are the duties of leaders in the church? What is it that they're supposed to be doing? What is it that they are charged by God with? Now, obviously, these two things are tightly connected, role and responsibility. Often, once you know what your role is, you also know what your responsibilities are, what it is you are supposed to do, what's required of you. Well, this is what we want to move on to tonight as we think about the second part of our study here, and that is the responsibilities of leadership. Now, there are two basic responsibilities in this text, and they are to shepherd, verse 2, or we might say pastor, and number 2, oversight, serving as overseers, also there in verse 2. So these are the two that we're going to think about tonight as we consider responsibilities. Number 1, elders are called, commanded to pastor. The elders who are among you I exhort. Verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. This is what leaders are supposed to do. They're shepherds in Christ's church. They're responsible for the people of God, for caring for them, providing for them, protecting them, guiding them, all of these things that we will talk about here in just a moment. Look at the language that's used here. Verse 2, shepherd, that's the language of, you know, shepherds and sheep, right? And then, of course, the people of God are called the flock of God. So you get the imagery there of a shepherd who takes care, literally, of a flock of sheep. This is what a church leader is. He is like a shepherd who takes care of sheep. In this case, though, he's taking care of people. He's taking care of God's sheep, of God's people. Now, the language that is used here is very similar to what Jesus told Peter. You remember, before Jesus went back to heaven, before he ascended back to heaven, he gave Peter a charge. He gave Peter a command to take care of his sheep. Keep your finger here in 1 Peter chapter 5 and go to the Gospel of John with me. John chapter 21. And let's look at what Jesus says to Peter before he ascends back to heaven, because it's very similar to what Peter now tells the church, or the leaders of the church, in 1 Peter 5. John chapter 21, and beginning at verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" How that question must have just cut right to the heart of Peter, as Peter denied the Lord 3 times and the Lord asks him 3 times if he loves him. And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So you see Peter there charged by Jesus with feeding, caring for the people of God, who are called sheep there. And now you see Peter, he's talking to the church and he's exhorting the leaders of the church to do this very thing, to shepherd the people of God, to care for them, feed them, tend to them, protect them, all the things that go with being a shepherd. So Jesus gave the command to Peter. Peter now gives it to the leadership of the church. Back to 1 Peter 5. Again, notice what the people of God are called here. They're called the flock of God. You know that in the Bible, the people of God are often pictured as sheep. You can read that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. For example, Psalm 100. "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the what? And the sheep of His pasture." So this is what we are as the church. We are pictured as a flock of sheep. That God, who is the ultimate shepherd, the Lord Jesus, who is the good shepherd, who cares for His sheep, His people, and He has provided under-shepherds to care for His people. Also notice, as we pointed out last week, what Jesus is called here in this passage, verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Who's the chief shepherd? It's Jesus Himself, right? The archipoimen, that is the first shepherd, the ultimate and primary shepherds. You know, picture it like this. You have one man who is responsible for lots of sheep and lots of different area and pastures. And what he does is he employs a number of different men, a number of different shepherds who he assigns to this group of sheep and this group and this group and that group and that group, right? So he is the chief shepherd. He's the top shepherd. And under him, you have all these other shepherds. And the flock, his entire flock, is divided up amongst all of these under shepherds who take care of his entire flock. Well, that's the picture. Jesus is the chief shepherd. Elders are those under shepherds who are taking care of all of the people of Jesus in the various parts of the world and in the various churches all over the globe. Now, this reminds us of an important thing and a sobering thing at the same time. Who is my shepherd? Jesus is my shepherd, right? The psalmist says in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." God himself is my shepherd. When Jesus came, what did he say? He said in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." What a wonderful thing that is, that Jesus is my shepherd, that he cares for me, he watches over me, he protects me, he provides for me, he guides me like a shepherd does his sheep. Also later on in John 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So Jesus has his people who are like sheep, and he cares for them. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's the greatest thing in the world, that Jesus is my shepherd and he takes care of me. But it's important for us to note that Jesus uses means to shepherd us. What are those means? One of those primary means is he provides fallible, earthly, human shepherds to care for his people. He provides elders who are responsible to shepherd the flock of God. How does Jesus shepherd you? That's the question. Make no mistake, Jesus is the one doing it, but how does he do it? In what way does he do it? He does it through frail creatures like Mitch and I, and all the other elders and pastors and all the other churches. That's how Jesus shepherds his people. He does it through them. He does it through those who are called to the office of leadership. Now, that's a sobering thought. It's a sobering thought for me. Should be a sobering thought for any leader, any elder in the church, that what we are doing here is being used by Jesus to take care of you. That what Christ is doing is shepherding you, and he's doing it through me. That certainly adds gravity to what's going on here, to what goes on in the church. And what Jesus has established for his people, he has established elders for them to shepherd them and take care of them. As I told you last week, I believe, the more I do this, the longer I do this, the greater I realize just how huge of a responsibility it is to take care of people's souls and for Jesus to shepherd people through me, through Mitch, and through all the other elders and pastors and all the churches. It is a sobering and sometimes a pressing burden as I think about your soul and your spiritual well-being. What does this look like practically in the church? If elders are commanded to shepherd the flock of God, as they are here in verse 2, what does that look like? Well, it's helpful for us to again think about literal shepherds and literal sheep and what their needs are, what the sheep needs are, and what the shepherd does to take care of them, to think about the church and the leadership that God has provided for the church. So let's think about it in three ways. How do elders go about shepherding the flock of God? How do they function as spiritual shepherds? Three ways. They provide, they guide, they protect. Let's think about those three now. Number one, they provide. What does the shepherd do? He provides for the sheep. He makes sure that the sheep has food, has water, has what they need to sustain their lives and keep them alive and take care of them. Psalm 23 again, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Why? Because those are the places of provision. Those are the places where there's food and there's drink that will take care of the sheep. Well, this is what Christian pastors, elders in the church are responsible to do. We are responsible to do this spiritually. This is our job to do it spiritually for you, the people of God, to make sure that you are fed and cared for, not so much physically, but spiritually. That is our job. That is our responsibility. How shall we go about doing that? Feed you with what? How shall we feed the flock of God? With the Scriptures, right? That's why the elder, the pastor, is a preacher, a teacher of God's Word. That is the food that the sheep need in order to grow, to be sustained spiritually. And that is what elders are responsible to do, to give to the people of God the Word of God so that they can be fed spiritually. Jesus says, Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Martin Luther, the German reformer, puts it this way, quote, "Therefore, to give pasture is nothing else than to preach the gospel, by which souls are fed and made fat and fruitful, and that the sheep are nourished with the gospel and God's word. This alone is the office of a bishop." End quote. Now, Luther, in his days, he was dealing with people who were in office in the church. You know, they were bishops, or they were priests, or they were something like that. And what were they concerned with? Many of them were concerned with money. They wanted to be a bishop, or they wanted this particular office because money came with it. And Luther and the other reformers rebuked that mindset and said, no, the leaders of the church are shepherds, and they're responsible to feed the people. And to feed the people with what? With the Word of the living God. Number two, and going right along with that, the responsibility of the elder in the church is to shepherd the church by guiding the church. We are responsible to guide the people of God in the paths of truth and righteousness. Now, this is another duty that I realize is something that is a huge responsibility. I'll come back to that in a minute. Psalm 23 again, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." The literal shepherd knows where to go. He knows how to guide the sheep. He knows the places to take them, and he knows the places to stay away from that would put them in danger. Excuse me, he is a guide. This is what the church leader must be as well. He must be a guide in life, in spiritual matters, in one's relationship with God, and how God wants us to live life, what God wants us to believe, and all of those things. Elders are guides for the people of God. How again will this be accomplished? It will be accomplished primarily through prayer and the ministry of the Word. Remember Acts 6:4. Peter says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word." That's how leaders are going to lead and guide the people of God, by praying and seeking God's face for wisdom and help, and by teaching the people the Word of God. And as you've seen over the last however many years, there are all kinds of landmines and pitfalls out there, right? All kinds of questions that people have. What should we think about this? What should we think about that? How should we respond to this situation in our culture? What's going on in the world today? And the church needs true and faithful guides, shepherds, who can help the people of God navigate all of that stuff. And that is a huge responsibility. And I often go to my knees, figuratively, in prayer, and ask God for help. God, what about this? God, what should we do with this? How should I think about that? How should I respond to this situation or that situation? It requires wisdom and divine help to be the shepherd that God calls us, God calls leaders to be. Number three, shepherds, elders, shepherd the flock of God by protecting the people of God. Protecting them from what? Now, the literal shepherd, he protects his flock physically from danger. Again, Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd, the literal shepherd, knows where to take his flock of sheep and where not to, to guide them through danger. Psalm 23, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You think about sheep. Sheep have enemies, right? The wolves and others that want to come in and attack and scatter the flock and kill the sheep and consume them. Well, just as literal sheep have enemies, so the people of God have enemies. And it is the responsibility of the leaders of the church to so lead, to so guide, as to protect the people of God, to protect them from false doctrine and false living. This is why we read in the scripture reading a few minutes ago, Titus chapter 1. This is one of the, we might say, extended qualifications for church leaders. They have to know how to deal with false doctrine. They have to know how to deal with error and refute it and reject it and help the people of God with it. Again, I'll just read a portion of it once more. Titus 1. Holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince those, or convict rather, those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. So church leaders have to have the ability to do that. They have to know the faithful word. They have to adhere to it, be faithful to it. And they have to be able to deal with those who teach and live contrary to it. Also, Acts chapter 20. Paul is speaking to the elders of the church of Ephesus. And remember what he tells them. Acts 20, verses 28 to 29. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. There's that language of shepherding and sheep again. Now, why would Paul tell the Ephesian elders to take heed, to beware, to be on their guard? For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. That's why they have to take heed. That's why they have to be careful and watch over the people of God, make sure they are protected from those who would lead them astray in doctrine and in living. Now, the second responsibility that's given here is the responsibility to oversee. Verse 2, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Now, these things are connected, and I hope you can see that by the language of verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God. How do you do that? You do that by serving as overseers. So these aren't two completely separate things, but they go together. And as I define this, you'll see how there's a lot of overlap between shepherding or pastoring and oversight or serving as an overseer. Well, you get the basic idea there just by the word overseer. It's someone who's responsible for watching over something. In this case, the people of God. This is what elders do. They are charged with oversight, with responsibility, with supervision of the people. And think about perhaps your job and those who are responsible to oversee the operation of your job. You know, they might be responsible for some particular aspect of it. And so if something goes wrong, you go to them because it's their responsibility to deal with it and take care of it, that sort of thing. This is what church leaders are to do. They're to watch over and care for the people of God. They have the oversight. That also gives you the idea of government and leadership. Those who oversee are those who govern or those who lead the people of God. So those are the two basic responsibilities that Peter gives here in this passage. Pastor, oversee. Now let's think about these things and how they apply to us, to me, to you, and to our church. Ask the average person on the street this question: what does a pastor do? And what kind of answers will you get? Well, you might get an answer like, well, he talks for a few minutes on Sundays, but I don't know what he does the rest of the week. I don't know what he's engaged in. Probably plays golf or something like that. Well, there are all sorts of opinions about what elders or pastors do, and I use those terms interchangeably. But it's important for us to think biblically about this and realize what a great responsibility is put on the shoulders of those who are called to lead the church. I hope you can see that all these biblical responsibilities for the leaders of the church are huge. They're absolutely huge. And no man should step into the role of elder or pastor flippantly or lightly because of the great responsibilities that lie within it. The elder is charged by God with arguably the greatest of responsibilities, and that is the care of people's souls. That should burden me. It should burden Mitch that I am responsible, that we are responsible for your souls, for watching out for you, for making sure we lead you properly and biblically. The elders are commanded to care for the spiritual well-being of the people of God, and that is a huge, huge responsibility. So, in light of that, elders are more than just speakers. Or to put it another way, pastors are more than just speakers. I realize that we do a lot of speaking because we are responsible for preaching and teaching. But sometimes people make the mistake of thinking, well, that's all you do. That's all you're responsible for. We just need someone to fill this slot. We've got 40 minutes on Sunday. Maybe we should cut it back to 30. And we need somebody to talk. We need somebody to do some good preaching so I can go home and get on with the rest of my life. Unfortunately, that's how some people think about it. But I hope you know that there's much more to shepherding the flock of God than simply standing up and speaking for a few minutes on a particular day. No, it's more comprehensive than that. I'm concerned and responsible for your soul. And that will take more than just a few minutes on a Sunday. If I am to shepherd your soul, if we are to shepherd your souls properly, then it will take more than just speaking for a few minutes. Elders are responsible to pastor the people of God, and that is a full-time, 7 days a week occupation when it is done properly. I am never not thinking about you. And the longer I do this, the more I think about you. And sometimes I would like to stop thinking about you. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? No, nothing nefarious. Just like a shepherd, you know, he's concerned about his sheep. If one of the sheep is sick, if one of the sheep has a broken leg or something like that, he's thinking about that sheep. So if one of the people of God is starting to stray, I can't just be unconcerned about that. I can't just say, oh, well, no big deal. I'm just the speaker here. I'm just the preacher. No, something's got to be done for that person. They've got to be cared for. They've got to be spoken to, rebuked, corrected, encouraged, whatever the case may be. Also, elders, because Peter commands them to shepherd the people of God and oversee the people of God, are more than mere decision makers. And that's sometimes how elders are seen in many churches. They are seen as kind of this board, like the corporate mindset, that they're the board for the church. So if we've got to decide on, you know, painting the walls and how much money and all that sort of thing, then we go to them, they make these decisions, and that's what they do. That's what they're responsible for. But I want to disabuse you of that notion. Now, don't misunderstand me. Elders do have responsibility in government in terms of oversight and leadership. Decisions have to be made. Those decisions should come through leadership. But that does not mean that elders are mere decision makers. It's not just, well, we've got some things that we want to get done and we've got to run it through the board and get some answers and get some funding and what have you. No, no, that's not what elders are. How do we know that? Verse 2, shepherd the flock of God. Take care of people's souls. Spiritually shepherd the people of God. And that's more than making mere decisions about buildings and facilities and budgets and all that sort of thing. To put it another way, the task of the church leader is a spiritual task. It's primarily focused on the spiritual, not on the carnal, not on the physical or the material, but it's a spiritual task. Our job as elders is to pray for you. That's spiritual work. So on Mondays, on Thursdays, on Fridays, on every day of the week, I ought to be sitting in my chair praying for you. Sometimes I might send you a little message that says, I am praying for you. You know why I do that? Because that's what I'm doing at that particular moment in time. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that I'm praying for you because that's my job. That's a spiritual job, right? That's a spiritual activity. I'm praying for you. I'm asking God to help you grow, to help you repent, to help you mature in the faith. Our work is to teach you God's word. Again, Acts 6:4, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Peter and the other apostles were not to be distracted by the material and the physical needs, although those are not unimportant, but that was not their focus. That was not their primary function, to serve tables. What was their primary function? To preach and teach the word of God and pray for the people of God. And that's exactly what they did. That means that I have to be hard at work to understand 1 Peter, Genesis, Habakkuk, or whatever area of Scripture we are working on. Our work also, because it is spiritual and because it is focused on your spiritual well-being, is a counseling work as well. That is to say, we ought to come alongside you and counsel you with the Word of God in the everyday situations of life. In the practical situations that you run into in your marriage, in your parenting, in your job, in your relationships with other people, pastors are responsible to help the people of God navigate all those things by applying the Word of God to it. Now, there are many who are happy to see elders or pastors as those who speak for a few minutes, but don't get involved in my life. Don't get too nosy about me and what's going on with me. There are some folks who they don't know what to do with a pastor who is interested in their spiritual well-being. That maybe they're offended. Maybe they think, why are you asking me that? Do you think poorly of me, or you think I'm sinning or something like that? Perhaps they're just trying to figure out where you are spiritually so they know how to pray. As I've told you before, if all we ever talk about is the weather and sports and family, how am I ever going to get to know you and what your real needs are? How am I ever going to figure out what do these people really need? And the people of God have needs, right? The people of God struggle and deal with questions and problems all throughout the week. And often they say, where can I go? Where can I go to get help? Where can I go to get answers? Who can guide me? Who can counsel me? Answer, the elders of the church, the leaders of the church. I suppose I should not be surprised, but I still am surprised sometimes when I hear of a problem and I find out that that person went everywhere but the pastors of the church. They went to the internet. They listened to this famous person. They went to a psychiatrist or a psychologist because they were dealing with particular issues, and it never dawned on them to come to the church. Why is that? Perhaps that's because we have a wrong concept of what the leaders of the church are for, what the responsibilities of the leaders of the church are. But it is the responsibility of leadership to counsel the people of God, to help the people of God in their everyday lives to apply the Word of God to it. Now, that will require you to open up. That will require you to let your leadership know where you may need help, where you may have struggles, and what kind of assistance you may need. Please don't misunderstand. We are not trying to pry or be nosy or get into your private matters. I do not mean that. I hope you know I do not mean that. However, we do want to know you spiritually. We want to know where your strengths and weaknesses are, what areas you need help in, so that we can pray, so that we can counsel you and help you. I realize that this text, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, is directed at leadership. You say, Pastor, why don't you just let us stay home tonight and you just talk to yourself the whole time? Well, it's because this is for Mitch and I, but it is also for you. It's for the people of God. As we started with last week, right, we said, this is for you because you need to know what's expected. You need to know what's required of church leaders so that you can pray for us, so that you can encourage us, and so that you can be a part of the church and not hinder the leadership, but encourage the leadership and help them fulfill their function. For example, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. There's that oversight. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Boy, that is quite a statement. One day, Pastor Nick will have to stand before God. Say, what are you going to answer for, Pastor Nick? What will you be asked about? One of the primary things I will be asked about is you. What about this person? What about that person? Did you care for them spiritually? Did you pastor them the way I told you to? Or were you intimidated by them? Were you afraid of them? Were you afraid of offending them or stepping on their toes? Or you failed to give them what I wanted you to give them? I will have to answer for that. You say, whew. Good. Not me. Oh, but you're part of this too, right? Obey those who rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Can you be pastored? Can you be shepherded? Or do you bite? Do you kick? Do you fight? I would imagine that all of us at one point or another, we bite and kick and fight, right? So please don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about all of us. There was a time when I did a little bit of biting and kicking myself, right? So we all tend to do that because we're fallen and we're sinners. And we need God's grace to respond positively to rebuke or correction or what have you. But the question for me is, the question for Mitch is, are we doing this? Are we doing what Peter says? Are we fulfilling our responsibilities? It ought to be something that weighs on our hearts. The question for you is, are you helping us do it? Are you allowing us to do it? Are you allowing us and helping us to be the shepherds, the pastors, the elders that God wants us to be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, for these weighty things that you have given us. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to consider just how weighty, what great responsibilities you have laid on the shoulders of those you have called to serve as elders in the church. And I ask, Father, that you would help us to take this seriously and to be seriously engaged to fulfill our responsibilities before God and to the people of God. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be the pastors, the shepherds that you want us to be responsible, loving, vigilant and wise overseers for your people. These are your people, Lord. This is your flock, the flock of God. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to remember that rightly and fulfill these duties rightly. I pray for your people, and I ask you, Lord, that you would help them to be the sheep that you want them to be willing to be pastored by those you have put in leadership. And I ask that you would help them and encourage them to pray for leaders, to encourage leaders, and to hold leaders accountable to be what we are called to be right here in this very passage of Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for another Sunday that you have given us freedom and peace to gather here and worship. And we ask that the things that we have learned here today, that you would plant them deeply in our hearts and cause them to bring forth fruit in our lives personally, as individual believers, and in your church as a whole. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. As you leave tonight, may grace be with you.